take one when he comes out, take one. Here's what I thought I'd do. I've written quite a bit here of things about that I thought you might be interested in. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd go over it with you first.
Okay,
see what you would want.
Uh-huh.
But you want to eliminate, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
And several pages of it here that I have written.
Okay.
Now, are you going to put it up to your recorder?
Well, it'll do just fine from here if
right
you just
there?
Care to go ahead and read that to me.
Well, I'll read to you.
Okay.
All right. A lot of this is about, of course, I have to bring myself into it, you know.
Oh, that's just what we want?
All the way, you know.
Obviously.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I was born in Macanopy, Florida, just 12 miles from the University of Florida, on December 15, 1891. You're not recording this now, are you?
Yes, sir, it's on.
You are?
Is that all right with you?
Well, I don't know whether you want to read this place now.
Well, if you don't mind, you go ahead and read it, and then I'll ask you questions about that and things that I had already thought about.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah. You want to record it, and I'll read it now?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. It's all set. Yeah.
I graduated from high school, known locally as Lammas Open Institute, in May of 1909. I entered the University of Florida in September, 70 years ago. That was Dr. Murphy's first year as president of the university, and was only 3 years old, having been moved from Lake City in 1906. There were only two buildings on the campus, on the 80-acre campus, Thomas and Buckman Hall, named for two men who were prominent in the move. Just a minute.
Sure.
I'm not sure if I'm that court there.
The military department was under command of Major Walker. This was prior to ROTC. There were two companies the first year, but increased to three next year. I was adjutant general in my junior year. We had some of the finest professors in the nation. Dr. Farr, Dr. Benton, Dr. Crow, Dr. Keppel, Dr. Cox, Dr. Anderson, and a few more that I can't remember. As for sports, the football team had about a total of 18 players in 1909. There were baseball, basketball, and tennis. I made my baseball letter in 1911-12, but did not play football. I graduated in 1913 with a BSE degree. I received my master's degree in 1922. I'm a life member in the Alumni Association, a member of the Grand Guard. Upon graduation, I received a diploma in one hand and a ticket to Key West, where I worked for the FEC Railroad in completing the railroad from Miami to Key West. There were no paved roads on campus and few in Gainesville. University Avenue was a gravel road. No autos on the campus and less than 100 in Gainesville. During the year 1909 or 13, number of new buildings were erected, such as science, language, engineering, agriculture, and others. The first year book, the first yearbook, Seminole, was published in 1910. I received them during the 4 years that I was there, and get one each year after that until they were discontinued in 1973. I had the only complete set in existence. And in January of this year, donated them to the Alumni Association of the University of Florida, where they are on display in their front office. During those years, only 1 year was left out. This was in 1944, during World War II. No book was published. There were only three fraternities in school, ATO, KA, and Tri-KA. I was ATO. None of them had their own homes, as they do now, or rented office space in downtown Gainesville. There were three railroads through Gainesville, ACL, SAL, and the T&J, all carried passengers. The White House Hotel, owned by the Thomas family, was the only hotel in town. Fortunately, there were enough young ladies in Gainesville so that most students had girlfriends. Others would come in on weekends for parties, and quite a number married these girls after graduation. Buildings on the campus, this ADL, 80-acre campus, were located about the middle of the pine forest, dotted with several big sinkholes. I'm going to put that in further up and over here. That was something I thought of this morning. During the first year I was there, a circus came to town and was set up across the street from the east side of the campus. And in the afternoon, the students thought that they ought to be admitted to the circus free, but they were not. They were turned away. So they went back on campus and loaded up two wheel-borne cannons that the university owned there. Loaded them up with brick pads, rocks, and things like that, hauled them down across the street. Fortunately, set them off about 6 o'clock between shows, between the afternoon show and the night show. One of the cannons went off, the other one didn't. The one that went off shot bricks and things through the tent, tore holes in the tent of the circus. Well, all the boys were, the way they found out what it was the one that didn't go off, they unloaded it and could see that it was loaded. So a very unfortunate thing. And all the boys that were involved in it were confined to the campus for 1 week. that's about all that I can think of about it.
Okay, well, if it's all right with you, let me ask you some questions about what you said then. Now, you come from Micanopy.
Yeah.
What was your father's name?
John Early Thrasher.
And how about your mother's name?
Winston Means Thrasher.
What was your father's occupation?
He had a general merchandise store in Micanopy.
Had he been there for a long time when you were born?
Yes. He started the store, was born in 1896. They started the store. He worked in another store in the town as a clerk until he started his own store.
Was your father a native Floridian?
No, he came from Georgia, from Madison, Georgia, as a boy. My wife, my mother, came from Oxford, Georgia, where they had, that's where Emory University was located, at Oxford, Georgia.
Could you tell me a little bit more about your schooling in Micanopy? How large was that school that you attended? Was it through 12th grade? Was it
through 12th grade, yes.
Uh-huh.
12th grade. It's located there now. It's now the City Hall in Micanopy. It took over the big brick building there.
But it's
if you came
structure?
To Micanopy, you came by.
Yes. So, you came to the university then simply because you grew up in the backyard of the university. Is that right?
We had no way to get there, you see, there were no automobiles. We had to depend on the Coastline Railroad that ran through Gainesville, or the T&J Railroad that ran through Gainesville, Micanopy. Both of those were in Micanopy, so I could go back and forth on weekends by train.
Now, of course, Payne's Prairie was dry at that time, right? The lake had gone.
It did, it didn't.
It did.
I was with the road department for 20 years, district engineer, and I built the causeway. They knew the 441 across there was built. I laid it out. And people call it Thrasher's Folly because they didn't think it could be done, you see. But instead of being a muck farm, it was solid clay. So we built the road across there, which decreased the distance. We make an open game of about 6 miles.
But when you, as a young man, started at the university, there was still a good deal of water there?
Oh, yes. Water was in the prairie at that time. When I made the survey, it built it across there. There was about 5 or 6 feet of water in there when I made this chain the distance across. We laid out the road where there was about 5 or 6 feet of water. A few years later, it went dry. It goes dry off and on.
Right.
Steve's got a lot, what's called a Lachway sink over on the north side over there.
Yes.
Where when it clogged up, water comes in. When it gets unclogged, the water goes out.
Yes.
Then, too, the Payne's Prairie has an outlet that comes from Noonan Lake. Instead of, you know where Noonan Lake
is?
Noonan Lake, instead of coming into the prairie now, they have a dam across the end of it that turns the water into Orange Lake. Through what is known as River Stitch. And that water doesn't come in there anymore like it used to, so the man that did that put the dam in it, and it all owned the prairie at that time. He was raising cattle on it, so he wanted to dry it first.
Now, when you first came to the university to go to school, where did you go to register for your classes and pay your fees?
In the president's office, heaven. The president's office, heaven. Thomas Hall, the north end of Thomas Hall, was the president's office on one side and the registration office room across the hall front. That was all the offices they had in that.
Could you please tell me where the other offices that you mentioned were located in Thomas at that time?
Well, the gymnasium was up on the top floor, third floor, I believe it was. And the dining room was on the ground floor, of course, at the dining room. And all the classrooms were on the rest of the, all the rest of the building.
Now, when you started, you say that all the students who lived on campus lived in the other building in Buckman?
All of them lived in Buckman Hall.
Uh-huh.
If Buckman Hall had, I would say, some 30 or 40 rooms, I suppose. They doubled up, students doubled up, so there were probably 100 students living in Buckman Hall.
Was there a library room?
No, it didn't have a library.
In either building? Were there any other wooden structures on campus when you started?
No other wooden structures, but there was one little brick building down there near where the tower is down there. The little brick building there was later used as a post office. Also is a wood shop at the user.
And that was brick at the time that you went to school?
Yes, it was there at the time.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't considered a real building. It was kind of a workshop or anything else.
Uh-huh.
That was the only one. Then they started these other buildings, science, language, and other. about 6 or 8 buildings built. Well, in the 4 years that I was there, and you had tons of experiment stations built.
When you first started, were there any farm buildings?
No.
Nothing at all except those three. You want to let your dog in?
I guess you.
Watch that cord there now. Don't hurt yourself.
You keep watching it. Well.
Hello.
How are you? Come, babe. Come.
Okay, now. Were there any roads or sidewalks on campus when you started, or were there just a few dirt paths?
Dirt paths.
Where did you go to get your books? Did they sell those to you in Summit Hall also?
Summit Hall, you mean?
No, sir, I mean the books for your classes.
Yeah, that's right. They sold them right then. Must have had a bookstore, I suppose. They must have got our books on there.
Uh-huh. One of them. Did you need to wear a uniform at that time?
Only for drill purposes. We didn't wear it except the days we did drill.
Now that was mandatory, wasn't it?
Yes.
Military training?
Went 2 years, 3 years were. Last year, 12, 10 years, we didn't have to.
Could you describe what that consisted of, how much work and what kind of drilling and whatnot?
Well, I don't know how to explain it except just ordinary drilling like any Army post would have, you know.
Did you have to fall in every morning and drill?
No, not every morning, the second morning of the week. I think three mornings a week we drill 1 hour.
3 mornings a week. Where relative to Buckman and Thomas Hall did you drill?
What did you say?
I say, where were you drilling?
Well, out in the open field in front of Buckman Hall.
In front of Buckman?
Yeah. Sometimes we'd swing around between the two. There was a big space between Thomas and Buckman Hall.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we'd drill around too bad, too.
Were you given any training in use of firearms?
No.
Did they have any cavalry units?
No.
Any horses at that time?
No.
Did you have to buy your uniforms, or were they issued to you?
No, we had to buy our own uniforms.
I
didn't mention it in there a while ago, but our room and board at the university at that time were $15 a month. Can you imagine that?
It's quite a bargain.
Yeah, quite a bargain.
Now, what did you get for that? I assume you got your food, first of all.
You didn't get anything.
You didn't get food for
it? No.
You had to pay extra for your food?
Yeah, we paid about $15 a month for room and board and food.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm not being clear enough in what I'm asking. You got your food, and you got your linen service. Is that right?
Oh, we had to
get towels.
We had to send out our own laundry.
Where did you send that, into town?
Well, they had a lot of people who would come there and pick up the laundry and take it to their home and do it and bring it back.
Did they have colored people who came in and cleaned your room?
No, we didn't clean our own room.
In your room. Did they have anybody who came and picked up trash?
Yes, yeah, trash. They had trash to pick up that night.
Was there anyone such as the equivalent of a house mother in charge of the dormitory?
Yes. And a house mother, and then they have a house mother in charge of their dining room.
Do you remember any names for those ladies?
Yeah, Mrs. Swanson was one of the ladies. She had charge of the dining room. I don't remember. Yep.
How did they serve you your food? Did they serve it to you at the table, or was it run as a cafeteria?
No, on the table.
Like 40 houses. Do you remember when you first got there if there were any 40 houses off campus?
Well, not immediately. In fact, the time we went to school in 1909, I don't suppose there were half a dozen houses between the university in Gainesville. There were no people living in that area at that time. They began to build after that.
Did you make frequent trips into town, down to the square? Did you have any reason to go into town frequently?
Nothing. Yeah, sometimes, maybe not having any class in the afternoon. There wasn't anything to go to Gainesville for. There wasn't anything to go into town for.
Uh-huh.
You just had other things around.
When did you make up your mind what your major was going to be?
Well, I went there and intended to go take electrical engineering. But there were very little opportunities for electrical engineering in Florida at that time. Florida had no electrical equipment. So I switched, after my freshman year, I switched to civil engineering. And that's where I went through, got my degree in civil engineering.
Now, was it Professor Cox who was in charge of that?
Who?
Was it Professor Cox who was in charge of civil engineering?
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Cox, yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about him, what sort of a person he was?
Well, I can and I can't. You have one of these Go-Gator books?
Yeah, that was about there. You have one of those.
I think pictures in here. There's old pictures in here. And Dr. Paul's pictures in here. There's Dr. Cox right there. That's his picture there.
Right. Do you remember what sort of a teacher he was? Was he very hard or demanding?
No, he was very good.
Did you have courses in engineering with anyone other than Cox at the university?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had Dr. Benton was the dean of the engineering college. And we took, we had to take one of the languages. We took either French, German, or Spanish. Dr. Crow was Dr. Keppel taught mathematics. Anderson, I didn't take anything on him. He took science and Dr. Farr taught history and he was vice president.
Do you remember anything in particular about Dr. Farr? How he conducted himself in class?
Well, he was a little fiery sort of a fellow, you know, he was small, but he was very fiery.
And
he told us once in his class, that didn't you boy want to get up at anything, I'll take you on. He said, I'll take you on for a boxing match. He was a boxing match. He came from South Carolina, I believe, to Florida. He was about a boxer up there. He ought to take him there on.
What can you tell me about Dr. Benson? Was he at all similar to Farr?
No relation to Dr. Paul. Dr. Benson was one of the finest professor ever taught at the university. Later years, he helped originate the Florida Engineering Society. He was head of that, become a member, college member, and a lifetime member.
Where did he? Well, I think you've already answered this. I was going to ask you where you took your classes. Now, you said at the beginning, obviously, attended classes in Thomas Hall. In which of these newer buildings that they were putting up did you take classes?
Benton Engineering Hall. That's been remodeled and remodeled, but it's over there by the tower. That was one of the place ones.
Now that was just south of Peabody, wasn't it?
I don't think so. I think so. Peabody, yeah, that's right.
Was there any equipment as far as engineering or physics in that small brick building that you mentioned earlier, post office?
The wood shop. We'd go down there and take lessons in woodwork and carving and lathe work, you know, and things like that.
But that was not used as a lab for any science class at all. When you first got up to Gainesville, was there either a swimming pool or
has been made in building. Did they build either one of those while you were in the...
No, they didn't build. The old one was back, but a year later, it was used as music. Actually, just north of the back of the White Building.
Over by the Bernard area?
Just north of the gymnasium, big gymnasium, you know, the old wooden one in there. Later turned into music. How long have you been in the gymnasium?
I've only been there since 1971.
Oh, 71. You didn't contact these two men that I told you that man does, did you?
We're going down a very long list, and I only did this for Dr. Proctor part-time. I work full-time in the library. But we keep adding everybody to the list.
Well, there's just two men living that's older than I am that's living that went to university as far as I know. That's the two names that I gave you. Yes, Tom Bryan and Blakeman. Sort of, Bull Gator Sorter, who was captain of the 1910 or 11 football team. He lived in Brownsville, Texas. And he's not in very good health, and I don't know whether he's still living or not. You should contact him. He could give you some interesting stuff.
Well, I hope we'll be able to do that. It's going to be difficult to get somebody to help. Did he come to the reunion this year?
Yeah, he did, as long as he could. Tom Ryan is very active. He's older than I am. I'm 87, I'll be 88 next month. And he still comes to the, comes from Lakeland. His son-in-law, Bruce Kibler, is one of the freedom sons. And they drive him up to the, like, foot of the elevator, and they put him in the elevator, and he goes and sits in the president's box up there, all the football game of the game.
That's great. Well, we definitely will try and talk.
I went down to see him a few months ago, went in his office here. Had an office there in Lakeland. He goes to his office every day. He can tell you more things than I can.
Could you tell me a little bit about Major Walker?
Well, Major, of course, was a West Point man. I don't know just a little much about him. He lived there in Gamble, had a family. I don't know very much about him. He was very, very good.
Is he a pretty strict character?
You have one of these books that you do in the library.
Yes, sir.
That goes way back to 1880-something with the first class and all, you know, way back in that. I'm sure the library must have one of those.
Yes, we do.
Are you going? There's something else that I've just been on it with.
Very nice.
I'm the oldest living baseball letter man that there is. See, he's asking me to throw out the first ball game in February.
What did you play? What position were you?
Shortstop.
You were shortstop? Where was the baseball line?
It was way back here when the north of the stadium, I think it's called the, it's got a name.
Fleming Field?
Huh?
Fleming Field,
that's it.
Where they park the automobiles,
yeah, above the town? Well, they don't park in
that.
This is just north of the stadium.
Yeah.
In that big area in there. They don't park in that.
It's just for football games.
Yeah.
It's used for soccer games and whatnot.
Football and baseball were all played out there.
Uh-huh.
And those days, they didn't have any grandstand.
Uh-huh.
You just run up and down the sides of the team. Fellas would bring the girls to the game. They drive out there in a buggy, go in and get a horse and buggy in town, bring them out there, and the horse and buggy drive right up to the sideline, and they sit in the buggy and watch the game.
I was going to ask you about chapel services. Were those compulsory?
We didn't have chapel.
You didn't have chapel. Was there any sort of a chapel room in Thomas Hall?
No.
Nothing like that. Where did you do your studying for your classes? Did you do that in your dormitory room?
In the room, yeah. That's all. They had no study halls at all. That was something my seminar, that's part of if you go in there in the alumni office down there, you know, you'll find them all the way across. That's part of them. You couldn't get them in all of them in that picture.
That was very generous of you. I'm sure that
I gave it some.
You need collection. Sure they're happy to have it.
There's let's see, a couple things over there I want to show you.